At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Jaden Reed, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man. And boys, we're down to it, man. This is it. This is business season. Make sure to go over to rosterwatch.com, get a pro membership. That helps us out greatly. It allows us to keep doing this, and it gets you the magical, mystical, mythical cheat sheets to help you dominate your drafts. Cody and I are going to be updating those things like crazy. It's our primary mission objective through the next 3 weeks to make sure that we're updating with these changes in ADPs and things that are occurring, because things are occurring in the draft markets. I'm worried that some of these guys that we were getting sometimes in the sixth round and stuff like that are going to be creeping up into the fifth round. Especially with the Travion Henderson and RJ Harvey stuff from the look, we're going to talk about this preseason week one slate that just happened and some of the things. And I think as people begin to kind of marinate on some of the things that we saw over the weekend, we're going to see ADP shift. So when we do, we're going to make changes on the cheat sheets. We're going to make sure that you're always ahead of the curve on this. We're always going to be leveraging ADP, but just you got to make sure to go to rosterwatch.com, sign up for a pro membership over there. All right. The first note that I have here, and I think if you've been on X, you've heard everybody talk about it, but dude, so much for all this stuff with Tank Bigsby being the RB1 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This whole time, it's felt like this whole thing, this peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining, that the Pittsburgh Steelers beat continue to do with Najee Harris and with Jalen Warren, where the beat wants a guy to be the RB1 and he just isn't. He just isn't. And it's not Tank Bigsby, if you could base it. But ETN with the Jags this week, he played of the snaps with Trevor Lawrence, he played 100% of them. Bigsby comes in later as the clear RB2 that he is.
And the thing is though, ETN, he plays himself out of the position. He plays himself out of the starting role. It's never been like Tank Bigsby's been this great prospect. It's just been ETN has just been bad. When he's been called on,
the new staff has talked about ETN saying, like, because the beat even asks, they ask these, for some reason the beat doesn't like him,
and because he hasn't been good.
I can understand it, but like it's like the whole thing with it just reminds me a ton of the whole Najee Harris Jalen Warren thing that they all wanted to make happen, and it just never happened. It's not going to happen. The team looks at ETN and they say, I remember Leon Cohen saying, like, I don't know why you guys keep asking about Travis ETN. Like, we think he's great. We think he's going to be really good. The fact that he's like, look, the usage in the first game, it showed us what they think about him. Could it change through the preseason? Maybe. But all this stuff with having to move Tank Bigsby up and all, like, I'm just Cody. What do you think? Where are you on this now? Where it looks like it's like basically, if we can take notes away from preseason, you can't take everything out away from preseason, right? But if there are things you can take away, it's like usage, how the teams, you know, who they sit, who they start, who they play with the quarterback, who they play with the starting offensive line, who gets the biggest target share during the time, whenever it's actual like players that are going to make the team out there, right? We have to take something away from it.
I think that obviously the usage is the number one thing. And when you start to see those beat reporters that have been previously vouching for the other backs in that room, just like they've always done with Jalen Warren in Pittsburgh, and then Najee ends up being the last one because it's Tomlin's call, in Jacksonville. I was reading John Shipley's report the other night, and he asked offensive coordinator Grant Yudinski about ETN, and he said, Yudinski said, well, it really comes down to ability. He's a guy who has natural ability to do a lot of stuff, whether he's lined up in the backfield or whether he's lined up out in flex, in empty, in the slot, all the way out wide. The versatility gives him a lot of options to get the ball in different situations. And like I said earlier, kind of the approach to the way he studies the protection system, his approach to the pass game and run game, embracing some of the new concepts and different concepts that we're running. Those are all things that you want to hear from a running back. Like we talk about these other situations, like you're worried about Caleb Johnson. Why? Because of pass protection, right? We're not worried about Trayvon Henderson. Why? Because of pass protection, because we know he's good at it. If they're telling us that ETN has it all picked up and maybe a Bigsby doesn't, or a Tootin doesn't, or a LaQuint Allen doesn't, the pass protection, the out wide alignment, the running game, maybe he's going to average 3.7 yards per carry. Maybe it's not going to be 4.7 like we want. But like Kyron Williams, if he's got an 85% opportunity share, like Bucky Irving, if he's got the coach under his wing, or he's under the coach's wing, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. I think that Travis Etienne at this point is somebody who is – I think that his recent fall as far as, you know – just as far as just the he's fallen just due to this perception that he's like why aren't people drafting him ahead of Bigsby? Everybody's saying that Bigsby's the starter. It's like he's just if you would have said that and watched the game, you would have said like, well, these reports have been absurd. Of course Etienne's the starter. The next thing I wanted to talk about was just in that same game, just any thoughts about, so it looks like Travis Hunter, It looked to me like he was pretty involved. I think I saw him catch two balls, and then I saw an X. I wish I knew who reported it, but it was a reported 88% of offensive snaps with Trevor Lawrence. He had the same target share as Brian Thomas Jr. And like, if he's playing 88% of snaps on off, now he did play two series on defense as well at the start of not at the very beginning, but towards the beginning of the game. If he's playing that much right now, and he plays that much in season, it could be that his current ADP of I know about where. So it's right now it's sitting on the average of ESPN, Sleeper, NFL, and RT Sports. It's sitting at 65 overall. So we're talking about a sixth round ADP. That's going to be an extreme value for a superstar talent like Travis Hunter if he is on the field with the offense that much. Right? No?
Am I the asshole if I just say I kind of don't want to do this Travis Hunter thing? I've kind of like after just like the last week, I know everything's been kind of positive coming out of it and that there's belief that he can do it. I saw Gruden sit down and talk to him about, you know, how they're taking care of him. Davante Adams came out and said, he's like, I don't know. I mean, you're twice the risk now doing this. And I love Travis. I love, you know, the prospect, the talent, everything around it. But I just don't know from a fantasy perspective how he pays off. I can't find it. I can't find it when I have him on the half
and standard snaps
side and by side with Aaron Jones.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Say it again.
By playing 88% of the snaps and having the same target share as Brian Thomas Jr. and being
he's
Travis
not
Hunter.
Have the same target share as Brian Thomas Jr.
That's fine if he doesn't. He's a big play player. He doesn't need Brian Thomas kind of snaps to do what Travis Hunter can do. And I don't really think he's going to play much defense, especially not his rookie season. I just don't really see it happening. He's a big play guy. I mean, Travis Etienne, fine, put him in there. That running game is still going to suck. They're going to matriculate the ball downfield through their passing game. Travis Hunter is going to be an asset. I don't really see him being an asset on the defense very much. It doesn't really matter to me. I think if he approaches double-digit targets on a weekly basis, he's going to do a lot with him. I mean, if he's getting 7-8 targets, that still, to me, makes him worth drafting him.
Well, I think what Cody – I think that you're – I mean – if you just look at the ADPs, and like I'm most focused on PPR, so your half point PPR for your cheat sheet over at Roster Watch could be a little bit different, but Travis Hunter is going usually right around the same time as Ted McMillan. And if you just look at Ted McMillan had a really encouraging bit of usage as well. He had a 50% target share in the two drives of Bryce Young. So clearly, you know, if he's not gonna have a 50% target share next season. But your guy Xavier Leggett, who I was doing some tests in the 0.5 PPR cheat sheet, and I will call Xavier Leggett your guy because you for some reason we're getting him in the 14th round of that thing, which I think probably should change because he looks horrible. He looks bad.
What do you mean?
Xavier Leggett. We should have no exposure to him. He looks terrible.
Should have not had exposure to the third receiver in Carolina.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's just a side point. For some reason it came up in my head that I got him on one of those tests of the 0.5 sheet. And I go, this is pukey. We need to fix this. Regardless, you have Ted McMillan, 50% target share with him there. Cody, I'm assuming that you still like Ted better than Travis Hunter.
Of course, I loved. This is the thing. I love Ted. Calvin Ridley's right around him. Calvin Ridley's looking at 150 targets in Tennessee as the number one guy. I just saw Aaron Jones at camp. Aaron Jones getting a 70-30, 65-35 split with Jordan Mason. Caleb Johnson, we love him. I'm just saying, when you put him in this area of players, Chris Olave, I got just a touch behind Travis Hunter right now. George Pickens is right there. You name off all these guys, and we may say, all right, if Travis Hunter is 100% just playing wide receiver, I can see it. I could potentially see it. But they have, obviously, which I just read off the offensive coordinator's thoughts on Travis Etienne playing in the slot and playing out wide. Brian Thomas Jr., who just was a double-digit touchdown, 1,000-yard receiver, with not the highest target share because Evan Engram and Brenton Strange combined for 98 or 101 targets or something last year. Evan Ingram's now gone. Strange is going to take that whole role. We heard a year ago how important Christian Kirk was to the offense. He's gone. Parker Washington's in that role. Like, Deami Brown sucks. Gabe Davis had a role in the Deami Brown situation. Like, there's just enough stuff here to the point where I don't think Travis Hunter is going to be this 20% target share guy. And when he's not a 20% target share guy, and I'm comparing him to Calvin Ridley and Ted Earl McMillan and George Pickens, who's the number two in a super high-powered offense, and I look at running backs like Aaron Jones and Caleb Johnson and now Tony Pollard with no Tyjae Spears, to me, Travis Hunter just tick, 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 ticks down because, again, Trash Man, you bring up he shouldn't play defense. Or not maybe he shouldn't play defense, but he won't play as much defense as maybe a lot of people expect him to play. They need him to. Remember, this is a team had no cornerbacks with better than like a 63.5 or 64.5 PFF coverage grade last year. It was the worst defensive back unit in the sport. They need him more on defense than they do on offense, and that's the problem.
Well, I mean, to say he's not going to have a 20% target share is absurd. What do you want to bet on this?
What do you want to bet?
I'll bet a whole beef rib.
Deal. Write it down in ink.
Like one of the big dino ribs.
We're on to beef ribs now. In ink. No more Jimmy John. You have
to bring the man. Like I want this to be bigger than like a Jersey Mike's or I want him to slam down this beef rib for me and just.
This is going to be a beef trader's beef rib with Alpha seasoning on it. This is what this is right.
But the thing is too, like Travis Hunter though. I mean, if you're just looking at those offenses, if you're just taking the quarterbacks from those offenses and you got to stick with one. You know, is it going to be Cam Ward? Is it going to be Bryce Young over Trevor Lawrence? Probably not.
Not in Liam Cohen's system. I just like, look, I still prefer Tet. I'm going to get some Travis Hunter. And I understand what Cody's saying because the other guys that you can get around there.
No, I mean, George Pickens. No. Yeah. I'll take George Pickens every day.
Pickens. Yeah. Ridley, yeah. And Tet.
Well, and then here's the other thing, dude. There's also Travion Henderson. Who's going right around there too, and you know, cross positionally at the running back spot, I was aghast at how fast he looked, how good he looked, how pumped up the New England based, you know, kind of B team.
Aghast leaves a connotation that you were horrified.
No, I was. I was horrified for everybody who I'm playing against in fantasy this season. I'm aghast for all of them because I'm going to have Travion. So on the play where Drake May fumbled, that was going to be a target to Travion Henderson. But even without that target, during the time that Drake May was in the game, it was a 60% target share to Travion Henderson. Oh, and he took the first touch of his whole NFL career back for a 100-yard kick return. And he looks just faster than everybody else. He's playing with the starters. There was a thought for a while there that like he would be behind Ramondre Stevenson and maybe even behind like Antonio Gibson to start. That was absurd to think about. He's in there mixing in on like the third play of the drive. Ramondre got a couple plays, and then Travion gets in there and he's the immediate favorite target of Drake May. Also, dude just looks fast with the ball in his hands. Super pumped about Travion. I'm to the point now where it's like, you know, you look like you take RJ Harvey, who is absolutely the starter and the number one based on the usage that we saw out of him in the Broncos game, right? He's playing ahead of J.K. Dobbins. He just is. Looks more involved, looks better, is better. We got really good intel on those two players. And they're going in that same kind of range too. So that kind of does sort of make it harder to get the exposure to the hunters and the, you know, makes a tough decision. Like the decision that we've always baked into the sheet, or at least that I baked into my sheet, has been Ted McMillan versus an RJ Harvey or versus a Travion Henderson. And depending on who you need more in that round, go with the position of greater need and hope that the other one falls, right? I'm getting to the point in PPR where, do you guys think it's crazy to have Travion over RJ Harvey at this point?
Nope. No, I never did.
All right. No. I mean, that's where I've had him, but I feel like it's, things are going to swing back a little bit to where I think that they both get ADP jumps. And I think based on the sentiment that I've seen over on X, I think that the greater sentiment coming out of the first week of preseason is on the side of RJ Harvey.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Are y'all getting that feeling at all? Or do you think it's the same kind? Are we going to get big 80? Like, are we going to have to take these guys? Like, I'm just worried both these guys are going to turn into 4 or 5 turn type of players.
I mean, to me, that's fine. I mean, to me, I think if you're doing a zero RB route, I mean, I think it puts him right in the kind of place to where you could take them potentially as your first running back.
All right, let's get to just a couple of quick hits here. We'll just go one by one. I want to ask Cody about this. So we just got news this morning that Alexander Mattison is out for the season with a neck injury for the Dolphins, meaning that now Ollie Gordon gets elevated based on the usage that we saw with the Dolphins this week. The Dolphins were playing the Bears, weren't? Yeah, was that the Bears?
Yep.
Yeah, that was. By the way, dude, Austin Booker, the number 94 for the Bears, that guy looks like, I know that he's a second year guy, but man, that guy's a terror. I think he had like 3 sacks in that game, in 1 sack fumble. But as far as fantasy, so you had Achane in there first, and then because Tua had the bad practice, the bad practice in the scrimmage, and he wanted to actually go play. So they played their starters, and Tua was in there with Achane, and then Jalen Wright comes in, and they got down into a goal to go situation where they had Jalen Wright had three shots, could not get into the end zone. He did find the end zone later on one carry, but it was not a goal line carry. It was a red zone carry. Whereas later in the game, Ollie Gordon comes in, and this dude looks legit. He looks like Oklahoma State 2023 Ollie Gordon out there, and he gets his first goal line carry, and he got stuffed, I think, on the first one, but then on the second one does the leap over the top and gets the actual goal line touchdown that we've heard a bunch of belly aching about from the Tyreek Hills of the world. Why do they use Achane down there? Like, that was an issue last year. Ollie Gordon looks like he's good in that role. Cody, do you think at this point, Jalen Wright? I think he's clearly the number two. I'm not interested in him. It's more like for a free pick at the very end. I think I'm interested in OG3.
I'm more interested in OG3 than not, especially for the potential goal line work and based on what he looked like this weekend.
Does it make a difference if they sign Jamal Williams?
I was just literally going to walk right into that and say this game was the Jamal Williams over weekend visit game, because he visited Chicago in the back end last week, which I didn't think was insignificant, and made me first think of Roschon Johnson. Actually, made me first think of the D'Ernest Johnson, Jeff Wilson visit in San Fran a week and a half ago that turned into Isaac Garendo being out for a couple of weeks and them signing Jeff Wilson. But Jamal, I've been saying Leonard Fournette was going to be the big goal linebacker that gets signed, but it looks like it's going to be Jamal that gets the first crack. Visited Miami today, and I don't really know what to think about that. What was your first thought, Trashman, from the Jamal Williams? Because I was like, all right, well, obviously Alexander Madison's got the neck surgery, but you still got these three dudes here in Achane, Wright, and Gordon. It's not like you need a fourth guy. It's like you need Jamal Williams to come in and do anything.
I mean, I think it's just the kind of thing where they don't really yet know what they have in Gordon. And it, I mean, Williams is just insurance.
I think he showed enough. I think he looks good, man. But we'll see. I mean, teams always like to Jamal Williams was awful. He has looked ever since he led the league in touchdowns, he's looked bad.
Was it last year or the year before that he absolutely stunk in New Orleans?
The year New Orleans, that was just last season. He looks like he's got just like, yeah, I mean, talk about oatmeal in the pants. Makes Samaje Perine look like a young buck. Trashman, Tyjae Spears, your guy suffers a high ankle sprain. Does this make you any higher on Tony Pollard?
I mean, a little bit, but it doesn't seem as bad as, you know, it seemed on the outset. He's probably miss a few weeks with a high ankle sprain. You know, maybe it gives some momentum to Pollard, you know, entering the season, but I don't think it's the kind of sea change that some people are predicting with Pollard. I don't think he's going to be out for that long.
All right, Cody, what about the New York Jets? You've said in the past that you think Breece Hall could eventually present a value if he falls far enough just on the overall talent and skill set. But from what we've seen in the first game, the Jets look like they weren't lying. This is a committee. They have Braylon Allen mixing in early, and they have even Isaiah Davis mixing in on passing downs.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, the thing is, Breece Hall is, speaking of Tony Pollard, Breece Hall has that kind of action. He's got that kind of upside. I mean, I don't know if we necessarily want Breece Hall playing every down. You know, I feel like he's the kind of player who can use it
for real football. You might not, but what about for fantasy?
No, I mean, Tony Pollard in the Zeke Elliott era, you know, even if Pollard or Hall isn't playing most of the time,
we weren't ranking Tony Pollard as like RB 13.
And maybe we don't need to rank Hall that high.
I think that's the thing, right? That's the takeaway right there is that who's to say Braylon Allen's not in that Zeke role to a certain extent that was in Dallas a couple of years ago. And it's kind of like an inverse where we're overpaying for the Pollard role and underpaying for the Zeke role or the Montgomery Gibbs role type of thing. Like maybe that's It's going to be tough to keep Braylon off the field. I love Braylon Allen. I mean, I had him as my running back one until late in the process. I should have never shifted off of that. But I think Brees is fine. Man, I think he's probably a little bit higher. Huh?
Who'd you switch it to? Was that the same year as Brooks?
Yes.
Huh. Wasn't bad. I mean, you can't blame yourself for Brooks being hurt, getting hurt.
Yeah, but I should have never came off of it. But anyway, nonetheless, he's not good.
I mean,
Braylon's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel bad about coming off that. That was a process-driven decision. I think it was probably good to come off that.
I think it'll be good. I think this is a good backfield. I think Donovan Edwards looked all right. Like, it's the backfield. I mean, it's going to be a run-centric team. I think you can't really go wrong. Brees probably a little high right now. But if we expect him to be in any way, shape, or form, that Pollard or that Jahmyr Gibbs role, it can pay off still.
Trash man, Omarion Hampton got to rest with the Chargers. We still have Najee Harris with the eye. We don't know anything about it, but we did have Dr. Chow on the – your favorite Dr. Chow on the pod.
Did he say he was going to have to take it out?
No, he was saying that he was like, I just thought the most interesting thing he said is like, if he doesn't have his full binocular vision, that he literally won't have depth perception. And so like, how can you play running back without depth perception? You can't catch. It's hard to tell where the holes are there or the zone lanes are developing. He's in a tough spot. I'm not laughing I feel bad for the guy, but it's like, it's kind of hard to play running back with no depth perception. But Omari Hampton, he got to sit out, right? That has to say something, right?
I mean, of course. I mean, he's the next guy up. I mean, if Najee Harris isn't ready for week one.
First round pick.
They haven't given us a timeline. Yeah, first round pick. And he's a dual threat. You know, he's a good pass catcher. He doesn't really need to come off the field if he's already starting the game. So maybe even more so than Harvey, maybe even more so than Caleb Jones. I think maybe Hampton has kind of this outside dark horse shot to lead all those guys in touches.
Cody, I'm a little bit – look, we'll end with this one because I'm worried about it. This has been a guy that I've been worried about. I've been coming off of. You've been less worried. It feels like you're just putting up this whole Brees Hall force field where you're not willing to – you're always like, I'm so Bayesian in my approach. I'm always willing to change with new information. And you're not going to do it with Brees Hall. Are you going to do it with Caleb Johnson, who they rested Jaylen Warren, did the Steelers. Then Kenneth Gainwell, I believe Gainwell started. But then what I notice is Caleb Johnson comes in and plays like five drives. That has to sort of tell you something. I think maybe this is the one time where it's like, when they say that Jaylen Warren is ahead, where we can actually maybe listen at least to start. Are you worried at least about the start of the season with Caleb Johnson?
Sure. But what does that mean? What does it mean to you that Jaylen Warren is the perceived starter? What does that mean? Does that mean that we should jump off the boat with Caleb Johnson? Does that mean that we should pull back and wait for value to come into our pockets because everybody else is going to shift towards Jaylen Warren? Does it mean that Jaylen Warren is going to all of a sudden be, in a Bucky Irving type situation where all of a sudden the guy that was looked at as potentially the starter is just, in the back seat being Rashad White? Does it mean that in this offensive line that's fine, that we think can take a big step forward this year, and pass protect with Aaron Rodgers, does it mean he's going to be out here catching 80 footballs? Like, is this what we believe is going to come to fruition with an undersized 5'8", 200-pound, a little bit of a donkish running back in Jaylen Warren, that we think that this guy, this beta of a running back, this south of the Trey Mason-Dixon line running back, is going to supplant, take over, and lead the Pittsburgh Steelers in anything, let alone carries, backfield receptions, pass protection, touchdowns, snaps. Does that sound like an alpha running back for Mike Tomlin?
Backfield reception, I give him that.
Yeah, and I think the pass pro stuff.
That's not Caleb. I mean, come on.
What do you mean? It's not Caleb. What? It's come on. What? It's like
He's not going to take over this whole backfield. Yes, he can have pass protection. Yes, he could potentially lead him in receptions out of the backfield. But that's not going to be what takes. That's what I'm saying. What are you expecting from Jalen Warren other than that? Like, what? What is he going to do?
You want the kid. So basically, you're saying that you want to hoover up in the best case, all the first and second down grind between the tackles carries, when we all know very well that in fantasy football, even in like half point PPR, a target is worth between 2.5 and 3x more than a carry.
Work for Najee Harris.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.